welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church. Looking forward to today. Nice, windy, cool day outside, so we're in here in a nice, warm building. So let's just relax for a little while, let the Spirit of God speak to us, and invite Him to be with us this morning. That's the most important thing. If He's with us, then whatever we say and do is going to be accomplished. Without Him, we stand no chance. So thankful for that this morning. Do we have any prayer requests before we get into our morning service? Ask you to be with the ones we have traveling. Of course, Miss Pat's on her way back from Oklahoma from seeing her grandson graduate boot camp. I know she's proud of him, and some say they've talked to her, and she is wore out. She knows if she was here this morning, I'd aggravate her because of her being old, but y'all don't tell her I said that. She texted me this morning and wanted to know how her favorite pastor was doing. I texted her back and asked her how's my favorite piano player. But I think she means because she's only got one. But anyway, we have a good time. So miss her. Rudy and them, of course, is traveling. Stephanie's working. We have many others. I'm probably missing traveling different things. But y'all remember them this morning. As every person is missed when you're out. We truly miss them. Went home last week and realized I had forgotten to even mention we should have had a Veterans Day celebration last week. It's very special people that has went and served our country, and I know we have one or two in here this morning, so just want to tell you I appreciate your service, and that young fellow that's just enlisted, Miss Pat's grandson, I appreciate what he's doing, and I'm glad we have those people willing to serve so I can stand here this morning and be free. All those that gave their life for us, and so thankful for them this morning. So remember them in your prayers. Also, got many that's suffering from cancer and different things. We talked about in our Sunday school class. Continue to pray for those. Continue to remember Kay as she's still healing from her surgery. Lee got a good report this week from his heart test, and Missy said she didn't think he had one, but they found he had a heart, and it's strong even. Very strong, and so she may have to put up with Lee a few more years. So y'all remember them and pray for Lee this morning. He has had a few setbacks. Misty thinks allergic to some of the dye. He's had his feet as well this morning, so y'all remember him still. Do we have any that I'm missing?
Jeff Moore's family.
Yes. Do you remember his family? Also, a young man from Heflin. Go ahead. Yes, remember that. Also, what's the young man's name from Heflin that's in UAB?
Harrison Burke
is in UAB. Not really sure what's wrong. He's just really sick. So we'll pray for him that the doctors will find some answers today and they'll begin doing the treatment that will bring him back to his much-wanted health. Have any others? No others, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this day for what you've given us. Father, we thank you for this time of thanksgiving. Father, as we set this day aside, it's coming up this week to just have a day of thankfulness. God, and we know that we should be most thankful for you giving your son for us. And God, we ask that you, Lord, just bless us here this morning. God, let everything we do and say here to be honor and glorify your name. And God, we pray for these prayer requests that's been made known. Lord, this young man's in the hospital in Birmingham. God, I pray that you give some answers today, God. Give some comfort, Lord, as we know only you can. God, we ask you to be with our co-congregation this morning, but especially those that are traveling afar and those that are traveling near just to work or whatever, God. I pray that you comfort them and bring them back to us, Lord. And Father, as we go into the Christmas season, I know it kind of starts this week and first week of here we are at Thanksgiving, and December's among us, and Christmas will be coming, God, and we ask that you to let us take the time this season to really be thankful and to really understand what the Christmas season means. Father, it meant that you sent a Savior for each and every one of us, that no matter how bad we've been or how much sin in our lives, that you can clean us and cure us from this sickness called sin. God, I ask you to be with our singers this morning. Let them sing praises under your name, and God, I ask you to touch your voice and help them this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Morning.
from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was punched beneath the foot and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? So lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Thank you.
Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Oh, I need you. Every
hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My wantedness, my righteousness.
Singing this morning. Again, good to see everyone out, and I just want to make something clear this morning. I went by Lifeway yesterday, and they had some Bibles on sale, and I bought a new one. This is not Auburn blue. It's Ford blue. It's not Auburn blue. Well, I knew that as soon as some people saw that, especially we don't never know what's going to happen next week. That could be confusing. So, good to have everyone here this morning, and appreciate you coming, and I'm excited about this message today. Brother Terry gave his announced call to preach not long ago. He's already preached once for us, so today, as far as I know, will be his second time. So y'all be much in prayer for him, as I know I've been there. As you're starting out and trying to do, you'll get done preaching, and that old serpent will come to you and tell you that what you're doing is not good enough, and you shouldn't be doing it, and I've heard it all. I've quit every Sunday. Every Sunday evening, I've quit for 10 years, and Monday morning, you think, well, I ain't going back next week, and then it begins over and over, and no one understands the battle that does go on until you're in that place. And I know that Satan messes with every one of us every week and tries to trip us up and destroy us, but when you announce that call, I think he unleashes all he has on you, and it's tough. The temptations that come, things come to your mind you never thought of before, and it's just unexplainable. But as Brother Terry comes on and preaches this morning, y'all pray for him, and just pray as he stands to give us his word.
Well, all that is really true. And right now, I ask you all to pray for me. Because I don't want it to be what I'm saying.
Amen.
Because I'm not able to say anything without the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want to say anything without Him. Up here in this place that's been restricted to those who have been called to use a pulpit and give His word. It's the desire of my heart that God would speak through me, and I would ask you to pray that.
Amen.
We always try to come up with a title. It's not always that easy. But my title is God Breathed the Scriptures. It's very familiar. It's comes from 2 Timothy 3:14-17. And I'll just read that to start with. 2 Timothy 3:14-17. But as for you, now this is Paul writing a letter to Timothy,
Amen.
Whom he called his son in Christ. He led him to the Lord. But Timothy had been raised by a Christian mother and grandmother. And they have been teaching him from the time he was. And it was Jewish custom to start teaching their young at about 5 years old. They started teaching them the word that they had available to them. Of course, we all know that there was no New Testament then. They taught the five books of the Old Testament that were familiar to them. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how you're from your childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writing, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. 17, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Now where it says up there, the man of God, it means man or woman of God. Now that scripture is pretty plain. We don't have to wonder. This Bible here, I use the English Standard Version. It's just a translation. It's no different from any other. Said the words are maybe a little bit different, but it's real close to the to some other versions. It's just, I like to read it. But anyway, we don't have to search for anything else to add to this. It's complete. Right. Nothing can be added to it. And you know, in the Bible itself, it tells us not to add anything or don't take anything away from it. And that has been violated so much down through the years since the printed Bible came into existence that we just can't come up with enough with all the ways it has been changed. For example, I was reading this commentary one time from this guy, and he was talking about how somebody asked him one time, well, why? It was a former Catholic. And he really had become a Christian. And he said, well, why is the Catholic Bible so much thicker? It's got more chapters in it than this Bible. So he said, a lot of that stuff in there is not God-breathed. That's why it's that way. And of course, we know that the Bible was what we call canonized. There were a group of people who were of God. They were led by God. And I truly, honestly believe that they were special. And they picked out what chapters should be put in the canonized version of the Bible, which I hold in my hand right now. And we've accepted that down through the years for several hundred years. That this is the revealed Word of God. And it came about as a result of God Himself inspiring this Word. Amen. It wasn't that He made robots out of people. Not at all. He did not do that. He placed His Word in their heart, and they transformed it and transcribed it. Not like a robot or a typist would, but the way into the scriptures in their versions that were given to them by the Holy Spirit of God. There was no question in their mind except that they were writing down what God wanted them to write down. And it's true and perfect. Oh, it's been said that don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. Well, you can take this and believe all of it.
Amen.
And this is just about the only thing out there in print that you can.
That's right.
Because there's so many people out there nowadays that are, we call them liberals. They want to change everything that this country
and the world has been about since Jesus came, and get all that out of the way. They don't want anybody to believe anything in the Bible. But we as Christians, we have to. We can't prove it. Can't be proven. We have to take this by faith, and we do take it by faith. God places that in our heart when we become a Christian to believe what His Word says. And He gives it to us. And it does not mean that only what's written in here can, you just should read this and not expound on it. He does not give a new word to anybody. I do not believe that He does that. But He gives people, pastors, not especially me, but preachers, He gives the ability to expound and expand what this word means. That's why we have different, there are lots of different denominations. Now, and I wanted to bring this up as I was preparing this message about what some of the qualifications that a Christian has to believe. That's right here in this word. Now, we have to believe, if we're a Christian, we got to believe that Christ came as a result of a virgin birth.
Amen.
That I read over it 3 or 4 times this week about how the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was born of a virgin.
Amen.
And he suffered under Pontius Pilate. Most people probably could not have made it to the cross beaten like he was beaten. His back looked like hamburger meat. He was beat so. But he had to carry his cross. And he was nailed on that cross. We have to believe that if we're going to call ourselves a Christian.
Amen.
That he was nailed on the cross, lifted up, and was there left to die on the cross. And they came by to break his legs. And his leg, he was already gone. God had already taken him and told him that he was well pleased in what he had done. He gave up the ghost for us. And you know what? What I thought of, the first thing I thought of when I thought of that is, Terry, he had you on his mind.
Amen.
He had you on his mind. He had every Christian in here on his mind. He died for us. For no other reason but that. He didn't have to. There he was in glory, sitting beside the Father. And he, in and of himself, of course it was a plan that was made back before eternity. We can't get our mind around that, but God has always been. There's never been a time when God was not. He wasn't invented, he wasn't created. He has always been in eternity past. And he always will be in eternity going forward, and he's now. He's always been in control of all things. And we, sometimes it comes to our mind, it's hard for it not to, we wonder why he created evil. Well, the very simple answer to that is so he can be glorified. So he can be glorified above all that, and he is glorified above all of it. In a Christian's eye. But we have to be careful about what we believe. What is written about this, if it's written by the right people and we know of them and we know of their reputations, then we can read commentaries of the Bible. I read them all the time. I enjoy them. I like to read them. But now, one thing we have to keep in mind, if somebody runs up to you toting a portable TV, and he wants to sell it to you and he's out of breath, don't buy it from him. might be a little suspect. You know, I mean, so always check out what somebody has written about this book. Amen. And know who it is that's writing it. I happened to be where I could hear this man. A lot of you may have heard of it. I do not know if he's still alive or not. Dr. Henry Brandt is a Christian psychologist. I saw him up in Chicago. He said, I have an intellectual bias. I believe the Bible is true. I got that same intellectual bias. Maybe mine's not intellectual, but I got that same bias. I believe every word in the Bible is true.
Amen.
The Bible is never on trial. Whatever's written down in the Bible, it doesn't have to be proved. We don't have to hound on it and beat on it and to make it true or do anything to it. There's no change can be made in it that'll make it more true than what it is. Whatever I hear or see or read is on trial other than the Bible, but not the Bible. If it agrees with the Bible and I read it, then I believe it. If it does not agree with the Bible, I don't believe it.
Amen.
It's that simple. The Bible is true because it came from God. It's God-breathed. It's one of the most special things that he ever did.
Amen.
You know, the greatest thing, and everybody will agree that knows Jesus, that was the greatest thing he ever did. He gave his only son. Can you imagine a God in control of all things and who knows all things, never been surprised by anything, has never changed his mind, has always known the future? He come up with a program no person could ever have thought that. Nobody could have ever made that up. That God Almighty would send his own son to come and deliver his people. Be the savior of the world to anybody who would choose him as their savior and take him. It's a mystery to us. Paul called it a mystery, but he said, I'm going to tell you the solution to this mystery, and it's Jesus himself. Jesus is the solution to the mystery. Now, God's chosen people, we call them Jewish people, They were looking for the Messiah from the very beginning of the Bible after Adam and Eve's sin. They started looking for the Messiah because in God's great plan in the beginning, he knew that he would send a Savior for his chosen people. I don't mind using that word chosen people. It's all down in the Bible about God chose the Jewish people through Abraham to be his people. And he sent them into the promised land. Now they are powers that be in this country, especially in this country, more so than anywhere else in the world. They're trying to disprove the Bible.
Amen.
They try all the time. They've been trying it for many, many, many years. It's been going on for a long, long time. It'll try to take away the strength and truth that's in the Bible by words such as, I believe that you can believe whatever you want to believe. There's no absolute truth. It's whatever you want to believe. And that'll get you there. Well, let me tell you, it won't get you there. The only way to salvation is through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And it's written down right in this book. It's God-breathed. It's the only book that's God-breathed. You will not find another one that claims to be God-breathed or is. God's Word has always been true and will always be true, and it stands forever. God's Word will always be available as long till He comes back. But now, that does not take away from the fact that we need to protect it, and we need to bring it out to people everywhere and proclaim it over and over and over again that it's the Word of God, and it's the revealed Word of God, and it's all we need for salvation, and it's all we need is a guide for life, the way to live. It's our guide for living a life that is pleasing to God, our Heavenly Father. His Word leads us, teaches us, and corrects us. And we need that. Anybody who knows themselves, and I know myself, I know I need to be corrected by the Word and by the Holy Spirit many, many times every day.
Amen.
Because I know I'm a sinful person. And were it not for the power of the Holy Spirit and the fact that Christ resides in my heart, I'd be worse than anybody else. And I know that. And I'm so thankful for that. And I get down on my knees every day, every morning, I thank God for sending Christ.
Amen.
Because I know that there would have been no other way, especially for me. The Word trains us in righteousness. And that's what God demands. And God, you know, we try sometimes to put God in a box. We try to shape Him into the shape we want Him to be in.
That's right.
But we can't do that. We'll never be able to do that. God's plan will always go forth. Man's not going to stop it. But what He wants us to do is join in with Him and make His plan come to fruition on this earth. That's what He asks us to do. That's what we're commanded to do as Christians. Take His Word out to others. See that it gets out to others. Go to every highway and byway and tell people. That's what a Christian wants to do. God's Word shows us how to stay on the right path. And it is the ultimate direction for righteousness through the power of the Holy Spirit. When God comes into our heart and we put Him at the top place in our heart, then that old stony heart we once had turns to flesh again. It softens. And we can love once again. We can care for people. But before Christ comes in, we have no ability to do that. We don't want to, and we don't do it. It makes us useful for God's Word, His Word does. If we're a Christian and we're not interested in furthering God's cause and kingdom on this earth, then we may need to do a little checking on ourselves. Because that's why He chooses us to start with. He wants His kingdom furthered on this earth and spread around all over the world. So nobody, when that judgment day comes, will have any excuse whatsoever. There won't be any. It also gives us the best quality of life we could possibly have. It's pretty hard to convince some people of that. Now, I remember, I'm old enough to remember when they were lots of people around that were just They worked a job, but they just were barely on a subsistence level. But they were happy to do that. And you know what? Most of them came to church every Sunday and worshiped God. But now our standard, what we think our standard of life should be, standard of living, rather, is so much higher than what we can get by with. But we're not happy unless we got that higher standard. And God wants us to be happy with whatever circumstances He puts us in. It's all in the Bible. Look at Paul. He's probably one of the best examples of that. He said he had learned to be happy and satisfied in want and in prosperity, and all in between that. His instructions are for our own good. And when we veer from the path He has chosen for us, we suffer for it. Amen. We fall out of fellowship with Him, and our life suffers. Our witness suffers. And we, as a person, suffer. We should thank Him that He loves us so much that He has given us a manual. And this is a manual to live by. All the standards that we need to live by right here in Him. That's why we should never, ever neglect the study of God's Word. And we should always have a desire in our heart to learn just a little bit more about Him. Because, you know, life, I'm at the point now in my life where I look back on life. Because I know I don't have all that much more to look forward to. Now, I don't know when. Nobody knows. But I can look back and see all the times, all the things that I should have done better for Him and done more for Him. But I didn't do it. But now, young people, you got a chance to.
Amen.
You have now to start. And of course, I do too. And I want to. That's my heart's desire, is to do whatever God wants me to do to further His kingdom the rest of my life. And I know that He'll allow that. The manual that we have is God's Word. It's right here. If we follow this, it can give the only true satisfaction that's available in this world, the only one. It's interesting how God gives us a word from Him when we need it most. Now, we've all been in circumstances. Maybe a loved one died or other circumstances of life that we go through. And when we saw it coming, if we could see it coming, we just did not see how in the world we're going to be able to go through it. I've been there. Most of us have. We just would think, well, Lord, I don't know if I can get through that or not. But what happens? He gives us the grace to face things when we need them, when we need it. He spells it out right here in this book. And the more we know of this, the more of it we have up here in our head, the quicker it's going to come to us. He's going to give it to us that way. Most of the time, He gives us a word directly from the Bible. But sometimes, it comes from others. And that's another very good reason for having a good knowledge of the Word. Somebody comes along in your path that needs some uplifting, and you got that Word stored up in your mind. You don't have to go look up your Bible. You may be just walking along and run into somebody. And they come from others. It does not matter what circumstances we're in. We can be sure of abiding in Jesus in these as if we were in a prayer meeting.
when we run into something we can't understand and we ask God to help us, if we have that word in our mind, then it'll come to us and He'll help us right through it. Our Lord was at home with God. You know, all through the Bible we see that Jesus, he would leave his disciples and he'd go on further down and pray. He prayed. What was he doing? He was staying in contact with the Father. He was always as close to the Father as he could get through prayer. And we know that that's the way he was able. He was fully human, just like we are. But he was able to withstand the temptations of Satan himself by the power of the word that he had. How many times did he answer Satan with words out of the Scripture? Every time. Every time he was tempted by Satan, he always said, when Satan would tell him, twist the words of the Bible and tell Jesus something, he always came back and gave him an answer from this word. Because he knew the word. You say, well, he was God. Well, he was human too. And he knew the word. And that, so we don't have any excuse. We need to take this as we do food every day. Take it in. Read it. Digest it. Learn from it. There is no condition in life which we cannot abide in Jesus.
Amen.
There's nothing that we can go through if we have Him that we cannot get through. It's of Him. It's for Him. That's why He gave it to us. Now the last, I got a verse here. It's Colossians 3:16. And I know y'all will be happy to have me say I'm ready to quit once we read that. Verse is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I want to thank you all for listening and being so attentive. I appreciate it so much. And I'm going to end with a prayer and ask Chad to come up then. Father, we bow before you again this morning. Thank you for all the many great blessings you give us. We thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts, drawing us to yourself. Father, I lift up every person in this building right now and all their family and loved ones. I pray, Father, that you would touch each heart to draw each one to yourself, Father, according to your will. I pray, O Lord, that each one will take their Bible and study and learn and gain a little bit more knowledge about you each day. I lift your great, holy, righteous name up and pray in the sweet, perfect, righteous, holy name of Jesus. Amen.